Are you supposed to let this stuff keep playing?
I think that's part of the art.
I guess so. I don't know, but I'm going
to... I don't know. I'd like to find out whoever gave them all those damn sound effects records.
I don't know, but I'm going to turn it down right now. Look who's come by the old funhouse today.
Who?
Joe Walsh is in the studio.
Let's ask him about it. What do you think about all those sound effects on the Pink Floyd records? Do you think those are necessary?
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's art.
Yeah, probably that's art.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you had a
probably
couple of...
Probably that's art. I mean, you know, they probably were out of ideas.
Yeah.
And just did that.
And so they probably went out and got, like, one of those things you use for home videos with sound effects.
Look at it this way. If they weren't there, would you miss them?
No.
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 I mean...
you were supposed to say, yeah.
No, I'm like, I'll be honest with you. You know, trying to work it and do it on a radio show, you don't know when to start and stop those songs.
Well, what it's meant for is that you play the whole thing and get stoned.
Yeah, sure.
But unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of being able to do that now.
Well,
we have to work.
No, I think what it is you get stoned and put sound effects on your record.
Yeah, that's exactly what that
and then
is.
That's the way to read that one.
Joe, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for coming down today and hanging out with us here for a little bit. And,
sure.
When'd you get into town?
Last night. I got it. Well, this morning, actually.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare to get here.
You didn't drive down, did you?
Eventually, yeah.
What, in some old beat-up van?
Well, we were supposed to go to Atlanta from Los Angeles, and the plane got snowed in Salt Lake.
Oh, man.
So then they rerouted us and sent our bags to Miami, except after we said goodbye to our bags, then they found another flight to put us on that went somewhere else. And so I got here about 3 this morning in my bag.
Oh, man.
My bags just got here.
Did you get any sleep today? Did you take a little nap today?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you feel okay now?
Oh, I'm fine.
Then we got to get up bright and early to play golf. You know, we got to be down there ready to tee off at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
After, you know.
That's why I don't have that hobby. If you got to get up at 6 in the morning to do it, I don't want to.
I know, it is silly, isn't it?
Why not play when the sun is warm?
Why do people get up at like 5:30 in the morning to go play golf when you can get up at 9?
I know, you can do it if you want.
Believe me, I've been saying that all week long.
Yeah.
I wanted to play golf with you because I know you're running with a scratch handicap, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have been on your team, but they tell me that your spots were taken, so... You know, that's a bummer.
We'll cross paths.
I hope so.
Probably looking for our balls in the bushes.
There's going to be a lot of that.
I'm sure I'll see you at some point.
Yeah. I always keep a couple extra in my pants, just drop them down through the leg and on my ball.
Yeah.
Congratulations also with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And,
yeah.
You guys
I worked out
there.
Pretty good. I'm not done yet, though.
You're not done yet?
No.
Tell me more.
Well, to be in the Hall of Fame is nice and all, but I'm not even really old yet. No,
you look pretty good. I mean, you're holding up pretty well. Our producer over there said he saw you when the James Gang was going around when he was like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I want to see Joe come in and look in pretty good shape because it would really date him. And, you know, you look good. You're in good shape.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Much to my amazement. I really didn't plan on living this long, and then now what do I do? I don't know.
You want to
maybe take up golf? I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to tell me also, I heard this story kicked around, and now that the rare opportunity that I got you in here, did you have a long-standing feud with Peter Frampton?
No. No, where'd you hear that?
I heard...
it was all about that, I don't even know what you call it, thing. Oom ba ba.
Yeah.
And, like, you gave it to him.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of...
And then he went and made $11 million, and he never even thanked me. That's all. That's all I thought. I thought he should have said, hey, you know.
Yeah. To this day, I made a lot of money, thanks.
Yeah,
to this day, has he thanked you?
He finally read that somewhere, and I saw him... He was on Ringo's last tour.
Yeah, that's right.
And I went and sat in.
So is that something you came up with?
I actually didn't come up with it. Let's see. Dottie West, country singer.
Sure.
Her husband, Bill West, invented that and also invented the first fuzz tone, you know?
Yeah.
But he never got patents on them.
So what the hell is that thing called?
Fuzz tone.
No, the
oh, the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that called?
I don't know.
It's that thing.
It's a talk. It's that thing in Bill West's garage.
Yeah.
It's a talk box, I guess.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
So Peter Frampton did thank you eventually.
Eventually,
because he was on this show, and he got all bent out of shape when I brought up Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah. So yeah, he freaks pretty easy.
Yeah.
No, the talk box was good. Jeff Beck used it a little bit. I got it out of Bill West's garage and started messing around. That was right about the time we were writing Rocky Mountain Way, and I had no idea what to do for the middle. So I hooked that thing up.
Now, how does that actually work? You got part of it you got to put in your mouth?
It's a speaker in an enclosed area, so you don't really hear it. Instead of the speakers of the amp, the sound goes through the speaker that's wrapped up in a box, and then there's a tube of, like, surgical tubing, and the sound comes up that. You get the actual sound from the guitar. So if you hold that in your teeth and move your mouth, you don't say anything, you don't make any noise. That makes the noise, but it replaces your larynx, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you modulate it by moving your mouth. And the result is that your guitar talks.
Now, I remember when I first started playing guitar, I told the guitar teacher, I said, I want one of those things. He says, don't get one of those. It'll make your teeth fall out. True or false?
Depends how loud the amp is. Yeah. It can be disorienting.
Did you ever have a mishap?
It's not so much your teeth, but your brain's turning into kind of like whipped cream. You know, if you're playing with like a really powerful amp, you know. And I had to keep cutting off the end of the surgical tubing because about midway through a tour, it starts smelling terrible, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, during the commercial break, we had asked you, you know, what the chances are that you could play. Then you showed me your thumb.
Yeah.
The hell's wrong with that thumb, man?
Oh, I had to do some routine maintenance, and I got a couple stitches in it, and it really hurts to play, or I would.
How are you going to play baseball and play golf?
Oh, I haven't figured that out either.
Well, you can play like I do, you know, one-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see those touring guys, though, that show you how you can play one-handed.
Yep.
Can you swing a club one-handed?
Sure. I don't think I can hit anything.
You can swing it.
Sure.
Well,
I'll figure it out. I'm really not able to play today. If I'd have known, I would have taped it up.
Real quick. And the thing is that...
Well, that's the thing, Joe. If you need special taping, you got to get here a half hour before the show and they'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Too late now.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, what really irks me is because you do. You have stitches in your thumb, and you were kind enough to say during the commercial break, hey, I'll sing if anybody can play guitar in here. Now, I know of a couple of guitar players in here, but none of them want to step to the plate and play guitar. This guy over here says, oh, you want to write down a few chords for me? You turned to him and said, if you need that.
That ain't going to help.
Ain't going to happen.
No.
Too late for that.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and hanging out with
thank
us.
Thank you. Actually, really glad to be here because Los Angeles is starting to turn into a big mud thing.
You thinking about maybe moving down here, just living down here?
Well, I just did.
It's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
I got to ask you one last question. You've probably been asked it a billion times. Are you?
No.
And the Eagles going to do anything else?
I don't think so.
Just the
how was the whole reunion thing?
Wonderful.
No fights? No arguments?
No, minimal.
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 Who in that group... You can just throw a name out here, and then you don't have to elaborate any further. Who in that group was the most difficult to get along with? Who did you just couldn't? You tell them to shut the F up.
Nobody in the group.
There's somebody there.
The managers are the problem.
Really?
Yeah. If they'd shut up, we'd get along fine.
What are they like, try to pit you against each other? And the managers will say, you're saying that, and Glenn's saying that. And
there's a certain amount of security they get, yeah. You know, because if the five of us talk, we don't need them.
Right. Yeah, what are they there for?
Yeah, and they know that. So they try and make sure we don't talk.
All right, you said life's been good. Do you want to retract that statement or reiterate?
No, I have to put a qualifier. So far.
Yeah.
Right? Remember the comma?
Yeah, that's right. There's always something.
That's why I put a comma on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
in Southwest Florida sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as an Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The bell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. That was really good hearing Joe Walsh again.
Yeah, and in a way that you can enjoy it, because when he's in front of you, you're scared of him.
Let me tell you something about that interview, and we've talked about it numerous times.
Stan is generally fearless, but Joe Walsh frightens him.
He was intimidating, and I'll tell you why he was intimidating. It's running hot. He came... We could have somebody off the street come in that you and I like, and they'll come in and do an interview, and we shake hands and say, that's it, thanks for coming in, have a great day. And you could hear it at the end of that interview. Joe Walsh from the Eagles comes in to do an interview with us, and the building, the people that work in the building, can't let you have an interview like that where they just come in, do the interview, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody and their uncle has to come into the studio, look through the windows, be in the other room where the glass is, and you got a crowd of people. Why? Because when Joe Walsh finishes, or anybody else that's a big star that comes in finishes, they all want pictures taken with him. They all want autographs. They all want a moment of his time.
It's like I remember the day we had Big Show in here. And we're talking about people that aren't even wrestling fans, but he's such a large human being.
Yeah.
Our studio became like an aquarium.
Yeah.
Where people were just lined up, look at him. And not in a good way. Not like, hey, big fan, big show. It was, there's this huge guy in there.
A freak show. But with Joe Walsh, and I remember it very well, and here's part of the reason why I was frazzled. And don't get me wrong, I can interview anybody. But there are certain times and certain moments where somebody intimidates me. And I don't like to admit that. Because out of 100 interviews,
well, Joe Walsh is the only one I know of.
So he's coming down, and he was coming down for a golf tournament, and we got an opportunity to interview him. The program director at that time immediately contacts a music store. I won't mention any names. Contacts a music store. We got to get a guitar to have in the studio. Mm-hmm. So they go and promise a bunch of stuff to the music store. The music store brings their guy and his buddy in here with a guitar. Then the people that were responsible for him coming down and playing golf, they had to be there to watch. And I still remember it very well because a few of your bandmates wanted to be in the studio that day, and they were fine. So, program directors telling us, ask Joe Walsh to play a song on the guitar, we'll have him sign the guitar, and then we can do it for charity, or the music store agreed if they take the guitar back, they can auction it off. Great if he signs it, even better if he plays it. So did anybody go and set that up or discuss
maybe it? Maybe mention it to him?
Mention it? No. I had to mention it to him on the air. And a lot of the conversation was off the air. And I didn't believe that part in the interview because it doesn't make any sense because he didn't play. But we were going into a commercial break. And keep in mind, normally, there's you and I in the studio, maybe our producer. There was about six others in the studio, and they're all signaling to me, ask him. And so I said to Joe Walsh, who was completely blindsided by it, hey, would you mind when we come back from the commercial break of playing us a song?
And that's what people that do not play guitar don't understand. They think by handing Joe Walsh a guitar, he can all of a sudden sound like the Eagles.
And it's not that way.
It's a strange guitar. He doesn't know what it's going to feel like. He doesn't know if he's got access to any effects or anything at all.
And so
that's why even when people agree, and people have been very gracious to do that,
yeah.
What they'll end up doing, especially people that are known as great guitar players, all they can really do is strum a couple of chords and sing.
Well, here's what happened. He anticipated. He hasn't been around for 50 years playing mm-hmm. the fool. He anticipated it. So he had medical tape on his thumb. There was nothing wrong with his thumb. He went and said, I have a few stitches in my finger. I'd like to play, but I'm not prepared to do it, as you can see. During the commercial break, keep in mind, we had two people from the music store there, a few of your bandmates that were in
Who was here other than Randy?
Randy was there, and somebody else that he brought. I don't remember who it was. Two people from, it was Randy and somebody else. So we have this brand new guitar. Still had the tags on it. And so we go into the break, and here, and I remember it just, it triggered my memory. Joe Walsh said during the break, look, I'm not going to play guitar. And like you said, smart, new guitar, he doesn't know about it, he's not going to be a fool. He said, if somebody can play the guitar, I'll sing a song. And you had at least, not counting you, you were doing an interview. we had at least three guitar players in the room. And as you heard in the air, none of them wanted to step up and play a James Gang or Eagles song or Joe Walsh song. And I don't know who it was, said, well, will you write some chords down for me? And Joe Walsh said to him, no. No, that's not going to happen. So we come back in after a six-minute commercial break. He said no to singing. Can we get a volunteer to play the brand new guitar with the tags on it? No, unless you can write some chords down for me. And then he didn't play. And it made for me having to breach the subject without his foreknowledge of it made me extremely uncomfortable.
I prefer the legend of there's just something about Joe Walsh that spooks you.
And
It sounds so much better.
I was off my game. And yeah, it sounds better that he spooked me. And he did because it was intimidating for me. First of all, nervous that
I want to take this whole break out. Can we just delete this whole break?
And delete history?
Yeah. Yeah, because I want the history to stand that there's just something about Joe Walsh that spooks you.
But you are absolutely right.
Because when you explain it, it's far too rational and it makes sense.
But you're absolutely right on the thing, because when the interview ended and we were in the commercial break, we were going to play some songs, I was rattled. And everybody wanted a picture taken. We wanted our picture taken.
And it carried through.
And he felt very uneasy with me, and I felt uneasy with him because it was an awkward moment.
And he was here to talk about that golf tournament, and we had to go to the golf tournament the next day. Now, we got there. Everybody that's involved in this celebrity golf tournament is there. It starts pouring down rain. It's canceled while we're at this breakfast.
Yep.
And me and Joe Walsh, and it was somebody else that's like uber famous, but I can't remember who. And the three of us are shooting the breeze. And you're off somewhere with a golfer.
I'm off standing in the entranceway to the clubhouse. I spent my afternoon with Brooks Robinson.
That's what it was. You were with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's me, Joe Walsh, and somebody else who's pretty big. And you know how I am, especially early in the morning. I don't want to be there and all that. And so me and Joe Walsh were like two peas in a pod. You know, we're just shooting the breeze, talking music and all that. And out of the blue, he goes, hey, I don't know if you know, man, but what's the deal with your buddy, man? Does he not like me?
Yeah, I know.
And what'd I do to him,
and
man?
And here's the thing. I probably would have been hanging around you guys. I was standing when we all had to go to the clubhouse.
But he honestly.
I know.
You're intimidated by him, and he's going, what did I ever do to him?
Yeah. And the thing, it was pouring rain, and you guys were all inside shooting the breeze, and I'm standing out over the overhang watching the rain come, because I wanted to play golf.
Mm-hmm.
And standing right next to me looking at the rain pouring down was Brooks Robinson. And he and I just started talking. He started talking to me because I had brought a baseball that if we were going to see a lot of the Major League Baseball players, I was going to have him sign it. He came up to me. We were the only two standing out there. And he said, do you want me to sign that ball for you? And I turned and looked at him. I go, holy Jesus, Brooks Robinson. And he signed the ball for me. And we wound up just standing out in the rain talking.
And meanwhile, out of your peripheral vision, you see Joe Walsh eyeballing you.
Yeah, it's intimidating.
Pointing at you.
We'll be back.
What's he saying to Haney? No.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
A nonstop thrill ride that'll keep you on the edge of your seat. Coupled with a tender love story that will leave you openly weeping.
What the hell?
If we could just pull that off, we'd be friggin' rich. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Got the grab bag coming up here for you in just a second. I've got the whole list. This has been flying around for the past couple of days, and I have the whole list. I've seen newscasts, both local and national, and the late night shows mentioning a couple of them. But later on, about an hour from now, I've got the whole list of what PETA put out of phrases we've used all of our lives.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
That they don't want us to use anymore, and alternatives to that.
You know, I remember...
It's unbelievable.
I remember in a more innocent time, before we really knew what PETA had become. Because when PETA started out, there were some really bad things going on.
Yes, there was.
With
animal testing. And
it was like, yeah, they've got a point. We should get behind them. And then we started to have them on about something we agreed with them about.
Yeah, very pretty girls they'd get to come on.
And I remember when it happened. They'd veer off into something where they'd go, yeah, and, you know, you shouldn't take needles and put them through a dog's eye. And we're like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You shouldn't do that. Yep, and it's the same thing as fishing. That's so cruel.
Yeah.
And
fish scream, you know.
And then we're, whoa.
Yeah.
And it went from there.
Yeah. I got the list. It's unbelievable. Our question of the week later
maybe
on
maybe that's when it happened, because I was talking to you off the air yesterday. I said, you know, when did Democrats go off the rails?
Yeah.
You said it was about 10 years ago.
Yeah, about that. The first thing that broke through was the gay marriage. Because if
and I remember that, I wouldn't believe that. Because you were reading the story, and I said, are you telling me that the people at the Lee County Courthouse are going to have to do that? And you said yes.
Yeah. And the thing is, a month before, you heard Obama and Clinton, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Uh-huh.
That whole big push came, and they all changed their statements.
And what happened to DOMA? Remember that?
What's that?
Defense of Marriage Act.
Oh, yeah. That was the start. That opened the door for everything imaginable. It changed.
And we're supposed to be okay with it.
Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Hey, look at this. You know what? I got to tell him about this when he comes in tonight. Great new product for Dave.
From the makers of Monster Energy Drinks comes Monster Energy Lunch Meats. Now you can get that extra blast of unbridled energy in a deli sandwich, bologna, prosciutto, ham, mortadella, and salami. And each slice contains 150 milligrams of caffeine and twice the sodium of other lunch meats. Monster Energy Lunch Meats. Put it in your body and ask questions later. And coming soon, Monster Energy Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Oh, can't wait.
It was June 26, 2015.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court all of a sudden found out that, well, the Constitution said all along it's for the gays.
Now, that was when the Supreme Court ruled.
Mm-hmm.
You had about 2-3 years before that where states, your Massachusetts,
didn't it start in Hawaii or something?
That's when it started, and it was like a tidal wave. And everybody, if you were the far left, they started popping up and would make big speeches about they're in total agreement with it. Now, don't get me wrong. There were always people that said, you know, what goes on in the bedroom in between two consenting adults. But the big push where it's not right for you to think that marriage is between a man and a woman, which started several years before the Supreme Court.
Because we were always of the opinion that you should leave people alone if they're not hurting anybody. But there is such a huge gulf between that and that we should view a gay relationship as no different than any other.
Let me explain something to our audience who thinks that we're so far right and we're this and we're that. And the judging that goes on.
No, we're just consistent.
We said it 20 years ago. I don't care what two consenting adults do in their own home. Don't throw it at society. Don't go and demand. I may, accept the fact that you're doing it. I don't have to be forced to tolerate it and
or to have your children or to have your children taught that that's perfectly normal.
You know,
that's a viable option.
We're not slamming anybody that's gay. We never have.
And then that happens, and now kids are being convinced that there's no such thing as gender.
Yeah, that's what opened the floodgates. Speaking of marriage, Haney's been doing stories the past couple of days about real buffoons and their ways that they want to propose and drop a ring down a grate, rent out 5 different diamonds and have a little baby pick one out that she wants and all that. Here's the other side of the coin, and we've always known this. The proposal, the wedding, the engagement party, has nothing to do with the guy.
Remember that koozie I used to carry around when I was married?
What'd it say?
It said, marriage isn't a word, it's a sentence.
But it's all about their day. This is their day. This is their moment. So there's the other side, the guy that makes a fool of himself proposing, and then the woman who wants so much attention, she freaks out over a simple marriage proposal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video online of a woman accepting a marriage proposal, and all the guy did was put a painted sign in the woods. Will you marry me? She went nuts. Just because the cameras were on, and she... Listen.
Oh, my God! 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 Oh, my God!
Go over there.
Are you joking?
Lauren.
Yes! Oh, my God!
Oh, her day.
Turn this way.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Turn this way, guys.
Turn towards that.
Baby, come here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to pass out. Oh, my God.
Baby, come here.
Yep. It's all about me.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm happy. What?
Ugh.
This is fake. This is so fake. My heart is pounding. Okay, just give me a moment.
Yeah, we will. Right. It's your special day.
I want to do an experiment here, Stan.
What?
Junior?
Yeah.
Can you pull up the moose soup lady?
Yeah, give me a second.
Yep, let me know when you're ready. Mm-hmm. And then what I'd like to do is to play that back with the moose soup lady and her oh my god there.
Get the oh my god with the soup late moose soup.
Yep.
Let me know when
you, and you know she says other things, but I'd like to see her mix in there and see how that works. I may see if I have some other spices.
Let me know when you're ready.
Well, that's up to Junior.
I'm sure I got the right one.
Is he eating chewing gum?
Oh, no, it's a whole different world in there. Sandwiches, drinks. It's every producer we've ever had.
Oh, he
snacks.
Looks like he's having a wine and cheese party.
Yeah, that's what he's having over there. Are we good? All right, here are you ready? All right, cuz I'm going to play this. Here we go. You ready? Here we go.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Dirty.
Come down later for moose soup.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Lauren.
Yes. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Turn this way, guys.
That's love.
You guys are doing good.
That's love.
Come down later for moose soup.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh my god!
Oh, I'm happy. What? This is fake. This is so fake.
You guys are doing so good.
You guys are doing good.
Just give me a moment.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
See, that's why you need the moose soup lady in your life.
Oh, she's... Everything's perfect about that.
Yep.
Women drivers. Jeez. Just got a quick little clip of the police call. A woman in Rockville, Maryland, was involved in a three-car accident on Monday and fled the scene, hit and run. Then an off-duty cop used his van to cut her off and ended up clinging to her hood while she hit speeds of 80 miles an hour. Luckily, he's okay. Here's the first police call that came in.
Near Shady Grove, got an officer in trouble. Vehicle ran over Montgomery County off-duty officer.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something, especially here in Florida, and especially down the Keys and other places where there's coral reefs that are dying because people hit the coral, it dies, kills the reef, kills all the life around it. There is a scientist right here in Florida named Dr. David Vaughn who specializes in coral.
Doctor?
And he was planning to retire not too long ago. Until he accidentally discovered a way to regrow coral 40 times faster than we previously could even dream of doing it.
Really?
His new method called microfragmenting is where he basically breaks a piece of coral into smaller pieces and it grows 40 times faster because it takes forever for a coral reef to grow. For a year, hundreds of years. Here's what he said. Here's what he found. This is groundbreaking.
Corals the size of a small car could be 200 to 500 years old, so it might take centuries for it to come back. We now take a coral the size of a golf ball and cut it into 20 to 100 microfragments. Each fragment grows back to that size in as little as a few months, and when they touch each other as they're growing, they recognize each other as themselves and fuse back together. We tried that with all the other species of corals in the Florida Keys, and it works for them all. We'll plant 20 pieces that came from one, and in 2 to 3 years, it will grow, refuse, and that would have taken 25 to 100 years. So I postponed my retirement until I see 1 million corals replanted back on the reef.
Do you know how amazing that is?
That is a great man.
That's a great man, and that is historic. You know what else? We got a lot of crap, Haney and I did, from the lefties when we were talking about how dignified the funeral for HW was, except that Hillary Clinton couldn't look at Donald Trump and... Oh, you guys are making it political. No, we're not. Oh, we're just shutting it off. There you guys go, Trump lovers. Shut up. You know who does it? The networks. Donald Trump was nothing but class. And wouldn't you know it, during a solemn time, the state funeral of a president, ABC News coverage has to start joking around about Donald Trump's funeral. Oh, he has to be dignified because he's going to be in one of these situations one day. And what's it going to be like? They were joking. Take a listen.
And perhaps a recognition in terms of his involvement in the proceedings by President Trump that he someday will be getting a similar treatment when he passes as a former president of the United States.
Probably a different tone in that funeral.
Perhaps.
He's going to choreograph it, so there may be more trumpets and
maybe he was taking cues. Yes, he would do it bigger, one would imagine.
It'd be the best presidential funeral ever. No one will ever have seen anything like that funeral.
That's ABC News. Shut up. Oh, by the way, as we're gearing up for vacation and Christmas vacation, I'm kind of giving you little teasers of some of the best ofs that we're going to be having over Christmas. Mm-hmm. These are gems. These are gems. I got one. Dave walks out, threw his keys down, flipped me the bird, and walked out when he had a full-time job. Why? Because he took the previous day off, telling us on the show, Tommy, you, me, that he had jury duty and he couldn't come to work. So the day that he was in the studio with us as associate producer, you took the lead on it. Dave, Stan and I have done a lot of jury duty in our days. Describe the process of going to the courthouse. Where do you go? Who? Yep. What do you do first? What room do you go to?
And if you've done it, you know all of those answers easily.
He couldn't. And slammed his keys down and drove away like 1 hour into the show. This is 12 years ago. Nothing's changed.
Yes, things have changed.
Like what?
He is really applying himself and trying to do right.
Whatever you say.
He really is. And I think he's going to do it this time.
I got to jump to this because we're...
I'm very proud of him, Stan.
I know you are. You always have been, even when he failed. I did not know this. And this is so how the music business is. Everybody is familiar with the Christmas song, Santa Baby. Santa Baby.
Yeah.
Madonna did a remake of it.
Mm-hmm.
The person that had the hit...
Eartha Kitt.
...was Eartha Kitt. It was a huge seller in 1953. The music industry said, for next Christmas, 1954... we want Eartha Kitt to do another Santa Baby.
Yeah, let's go where lightning just struck.
It was called this year's Santa Baby. So they had Santa Baby in 1953 for Eartha Kitt. 54, they had the song titled This Year's Santa Baby. And it was a bomb. Why?
Why?
Because Eartha Kitt, in the new words, wanted bigger and better things, and a struggling middle class found the lyrics to be offensive. You want all of this stuff? It's not as cute as the first one. Here's a little sample of this year's Santa Baby. Exact same song, different lyrics, that bombed the following year.
Santa baby, I must admit that you were a dear last year. But December is here, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, that Cadillac is falling apart, won't start. A private plane, it'd be smart, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Though the yacht was rather chic, now it's really shot. Last week it sprang a leak, and so please, now hold your breath. Buy me the Queen Elizabeth.
People hated it. Bombed.
Well, you know, so many of those great old Christmas songs were written by middle-aged Jewish men.
That's true. And
reflects their sensibilities. And obviously it's talking about a mistress and
how
they're never satisfied.
It's so inappropriate.
No, it's entirely appropriate in context.
In context. America did not buy it. They were struggling. Pewter Mug North bringing us the grab bag. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
As we celebrate our 75th anniversary in showbiz, we'd like to thank the weak-minded among you. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thursday edition. Yes, I call it Friday Eve. If you'd like to call into the studio, tell us what's on your mind, maybe pick up a prize. That'd be area code 239-277-9600. I'll go over some of the prizes you could win if you contribute and we award you one. Haney and I were just talking outside, and I'll give you a chance to check out her websites. So I'm at my dentist. A couple of things. I got this, and then one other thing I got to tell you because we got calls about it yesterday. But I was at my dentist this morning. I love my dentist and been a patient of his for a long time. Well, his daughter is the receptionist at his dental office. Her name's Blakely. And so I'm leaving the office today, and Doc is taking me out, and I'm paying my bill. And he said, my daughter, Blakely, deserves a little congratulations. I said, "What? Why?" 3 millionth hit on YouTube for her gourmet food channel on YouTube. And I'm like, whoa. She's a chef, went to culinary school.
Really?
And I said, well, 3 millionth hit. I said, on your YouTube channel. She goes, yeah, I have the website for it too. I said, I'd plug it for you. GourmetWithBlakely.com. If you're looking for holiday cakes and cookies and dishes to serve, she's got YouTube videos on the site. Step-by-step instructions of just absolutely fantastic food. And then she starts telling me how she's going to be leaving the country to go and do this, leaving the country to go do that. I said, well, what else is that? And she goes, oh, I have a travel channel too, where jeez, I go to different countries and try out the gourmet foods and meet the culture, and she does it all herself. And that one is hungryfortravels.com. hungryfortravels.com. That's her other website, but she's a gourmet chef. And
that's amazing.
And the stuff that she does is, and she doesn't need our help, but 3 million hits. So check it out. I know we'll post it. I talked to D-Train. He's going to post it on our website. And if Junior wants to post these on our Facebook, it's gourmetwithblakely.com. The YouTube channel is Everyday Gourmet with Blakely. And her travel one is hungryfortravels.com. Amazing. So there you go.
It pops right up.
Yeah. And everything, like for food, everything for the holidays. You want to make cakes, cookies, dishes. She films the videos herself in the kitchen, and she's getting millions of hits.
Boy, she's like a superstar.
Yeah. Now the other thing I want to talk about. Got a call about this the other day. Hey, what's going on? You hear any word? The lineups are usually out for Fort Rock. Guess again. From the Fort Myers News Press. Headline. Hey, you know what? You want to move this thing? You want to go and try to get some bigger bucks? This is what happens. Fort Rock canceled in Fort Lauderdale 1 year after leaving Fort Myers. This is in today's news press. A year after leaving Fort Myers for Fort Lauderdale, the annual Fort Rock Music Festival has been canceled. Quote, the festival is not happening in 2019, and we have no further information to share at this time. Event publicist Christine Ashton McGunson said in an email to the news press, at this time, there are no plans for the festival to return. The organizer, Danny Wimmer Presents, wasn't available for comment on Wednesday. It's unclear if the cancellation was due to ticket sales at the new venue, which was Markham Park in Sunrise, or if there were other factors.
I don't know. They didn't have any problems in Fort Myers.
Well, I don't know. Trevor Fell, and you'll hear with the whole story. Trevor Fell, senior park manager at Markham Park, said he was disappointed in the news, especially after the April 28th, 29th fest had seemed to be such a success. He estimated about 13 to 14,000 people attended on each of the 2 days. Now, here's where it gets. They moved it over to Markham Park from Fort Myers because Markham Park could handle 50,000 people. And they had 14,000 turnout each day for the concert, where when it was over at JetBlue, JetBlue can handle about 15,000 people, mm-hmm. which is making it look packed. Here's the deal. You put 14,000 people in a 50,000 people space, it looks empty.
Mm-hmm.
You put them at JetBlue for 2 days, and even the JetBlue people said, we drew, sold out in 2016, 2017, it was nearly sold out, 13, 14,000 people. They move it to Markham Park thinking, well, this is going to be big, big, big. And so they made it for like huge, 50,000 people could go. Well, they got the same amount of people.
Yeah, and probably most of them just had to drive from Fort Myers.
Yep. Fort Rock spent 5 years at JetBlue Park in South Fort Myers and booked big-name rock and metal bands such as Rob Zombie, The Death Punch, your Def Leppard, and Soundgarden. The fest started out as a one-day event in 2013 and sold out every year with about 13,000 people attending.
I'll never forget when you and I had some adventures there when we had to deal with that a-hole Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
And then the highlight for me is when I sat down with Seether and talked geopolitics.
Yeah, man, it was great. The fest started as a one-day event, 13,000. In 2016, it expanded to 2 days. Although it didn't quite sell out, organizers said it came close. By about 1,000 people, that close. JetBlue Park could only handle 15,000 people a day. Markham Park's special event field, meanwhile, can hold about 60,000. Well, they got the same amount this past year back in April at Markham Park. Now, because they would be, you know how they have the one up in Jacksonville, and with the 2-day event, they would swap. The mm-hmm. one day's events would be up in Jacksonville, our days,
right.
And then they'd swap. Well, the Jacksonville one is already announced, not Fort Rock. It's, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure something will replace it. I hope. 277-9600. What do you got for us, Haney?
Oh, just popped into my mind because with all of the Bush funeral activities,
yeah.
When he got back to Houston, you know who performed for him?
Who?
Reba McEntire.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yep.
And I don't know if people know how good they are. So I figured
the Oak Ridge Boys are great.
Yeah, why not hear some Oak Ridge Boys
all right.
today?
277-9600.
A seven-nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, I was just, I'm a loyal listener. I know you guys are getting ready to go on your Christmas vacation.
Well, we still got a ways to go yet. We've got
a long way to go.
We got a few more weeks.
Well, you're planning your best of. And I had a question as far as when David gets in there. Is his just like, David, I tried instead of the best of?
I'm going to tell you. It's best of for him because there'll be some colossal F-ups.
Exactly.
What can I get you?
You don't have any Universal, do you?
I do not. I have Babacoo Saw. I have Everblades for this weekend. I have Shinedown tickets. I have Pewter Mug. I have
I'll take Everblades.
You got it, buddy. Hold on.
Yeah. Nuclear level F-ups.
Yeah. Because, Dave, you're not going to throw your keys down again today, are you?
I ain't going to do that. I've learned my lesson. I ain't going to do...
Next break, Tommy comes on. You ain't going to be seeing Dave anymore. Why? He threw down his keys and left and flipped Stan the bird. You know why he flipped me the bird? You'll hear it in the best
what?
Of. The middle finger.
The what?
The bully.
Oh.
I went outside to tell him as he was pouting. I went, put my hand up. 1 minute. 1 minute. He thought I was flipping him the bird. He flips me the middle finger and splits.
All because he didn't know what you were doing.
Well, he was mad at us because he couldn't tell
but
us.
But you were telling him 1 minute and he thought he was being flipped off. Yeah. And that was it,
that
man.
That was it, man. You take the keys. I'm out of here. After missing the day before because he claimed he had jury duty, which he did not. Buffer.
Well, the thing is with him that I think really drives him nuts is, you know, he does play hooky from time to time, but even when he's not, you'll accuse him of it.
Yeah. And he still can't tell the truth.
Well, it's not his job, man.
Yeah, it's a lie. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Not to be on a downer, but my son is a C-130 pilot and instructor, and he just finished his 3-year tour out there in Iwakuni. And so it was kind of tough yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He was close friends with the pilot and knew all the crew. My granddaughter used to babysit their kids, and
so sorry.
So, you know, and it was those things happen, but. He has an inside track as to what possibly could have gone wrong. But, just everybody keep those families in prayer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and people need to realize, that just because we don't have a major conflict going on doesn't mean that it's risk-free.
Absolutely.
For our people.
That's
out
the truth.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were, they were refueling on night vision goggles and, something went horribly wrong, and they must have hit each other, and
take for granted the incredible things that they do every day.
Yeah, our prayers, buddy. 277-9600. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call here.
Right off. Ooh, he would. Yeah. Yeah.
Shake it up. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
From Naples. How you doing? Actually, this is Military Billy.
Military Billy, we got to hold off for another day because I want you to have time. So, you're going to talk. Try calling in tomorrow when we have the phones open longer. You talk about the bone marrow transplant.
Oh, yeah. It won't take but a couple minutes, but all right.
Yeah, we're out of time, brother. And I want you to call back. But we're plumb out of time. Time goes by fast. When we come back.
Turn this up a second.
Sure. When we come back. Hey. The PETA phrases.
Boom, 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 boom. Come on and shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby. You know what I like, baby.
You'll flip when you find out what's inappropriate to say now. I got the whole list.
And that is, that's the key to everything. If you go back and look at history, when communists and authoritarians take over, they mess with the language first.
Yep. Yep. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Always remember to never forget to listen to Stan and Haney.
Hey, when the hell did we let Stan start writing liners?
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Less than 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, an hour away from something we do every Thursday, our question of the week. It's not a yes or no answer. It's your story. It's a good one today. Everybody has an answer to this one, and it's going to trigger something in a good way. In about an hour, I got the list. This is absolutely ridiculous. If you're sick of the whole PC culture thing, then what I'm about to read to you is not for you, because it's going to make your head explode. Somebody within our service posted a list of terms that we use every day. We use every day. But PETA doesn't like it. Well, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. As Haney said before, the initial thing, it's good. They wanted to stop testing animals with cosmetics and
mission
pesticides.
And,
but then they take it too far. And then when you find out who funds them, too, that's scary.
Indeed.
But they put out this list. And now keep in mind, PETA, if you know it, you can't eat meat. It's not about the ethical treatment of animals. They believe that eating a steak or having a chicken or a pork chop, that's bad news too. So these are what PETA deems...
Leather, anything.
Leather, fur, nothing. You know how many of us, when we were little kids, under the Christmas tree, would get that jacket with the sheepskin inside and the sheepskin collar?
Coonskin cap.
Yeah, coonskin cap. You know, it used to be a prestigious thing for a lady to go around in a new mink stole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a sable jacket. Well, you made it if you...
Yep, now you end up with red paint on you.
Yep. So, they put out this list of alternate terms you should use, which would make PETA happy and vegans happy, because they don't like the cruelty to the animals.
You know, no, it's beyond cruelty.
Yep.
It's anything to do with
anything.
Animals.
Anything. You got a little background music for me?
I'm working on it, recovering from a crash.
Oh, beautiful. The chief engineer was in the studio earlier today when Zito was on the air, and he was underneath wiring and stuff. I said, hey, this is good. Are you doing something beneficial for the studio, like, you know, crashing computers? No. It was for the guy that does social media. Because they're sinking money into that, and they want to make sure the social media stuff is all...
You know, good. Last time I checked, we're in the radio business, not the computer business. That's what I was taught at a young age.
Yep. Times have changed.
So I was right then, and
yes,
I'm wrong
you
now.
You were ahead of your time, which is nothing new. All right, here we go. These are the terms that PETA would like you to use from now on. Get rid of the ones that you were raised on and your family used for hundreds of years. This one I heard on TV a lot. Some of them, they would only mention a couple because these are really offensive. Instead of the term kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, that's horrific.
Terrific to them. We'll say it right now. Oh, we can take care of this and this. Hey, it's like killing two birds with one stone. Don't. You're supposed to say now, feed two birds with one scone.
Mm.
How many times have we done this where we need Junior to step up and take the bull by the horns? You know, don't pussyfoot around. Take the bull by the horns.
Well, you can't say pussyfoot.
Yeah. Well, that might even be on the list. Instead of take the bull by the horns. They want you to say, PETA does, take the flower by the thorns. What else we got here? How many times have you heard the term? Your parents used it. Grandparents used it. We've used it. There's more than one way to skin the cat. There's more than one way to skin a cat. They don't like you. What you should say now is there's more than one way to peel a potato.
We're just slowly going insane.
This isn't cutesy. This is what they want you to do. So that if somebody from PETA and you say, there's more than one way to skin a cat, they'll throw something at you. There's more than one way to peel a potato. Here's another one. How many times have you said, you know what? Somebody finds out that there's a surprise party happening, and you say, you let the cat out of the bag. No. What you should say is, you spilled the beans. What the hell?
See, there's a nice vegetarian alternative for everything.
Instead of saying, Haney, I'm sorry, we've not tried this. You're going to have to be the guinea pig in this. You know, or Dave. We'll let Dave be the guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
No. Be the test tube. Not the guinea pig. Go in. Be the test tube.
I won't stand for this.
It's ridiculous. What else we got? Worms have feelings too, okay? I'm going to let you know that. Worms.
What?
The term when, you know, you've probably said too much. Stan, you just opened a can of worms on that one.
Yeah.
You just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, the worm has turned.
Don't say that anymore. PETA would prefer if you said, you opened Pandora's box.
So, they're defending worms.
Yep. You opened a can of worms. Now, you opened Pandora's box. Do not. How many times do you say, you know, you're going to go and you talk to your investor, or you're looking to get into something, and you're putting all your money. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. No.
What's wrong with that?
Can't say that anymore. That's eggs. That comes from a chicken. That's bad. That's bad. What you're supposed to say. Don't keep all your berries in one bowl.
I'm glad you can still laugh at it.
It's ridiculous.
The nerve is dead with me.
Instead of saying, gee, you know, like a wife saying to her husband, well, I clean house, but it's your job to bring home the bacon. Bringing home the bacon.
Remember, she brings home the bacon and fries it up in a pan.
And then
smokes a women's cigarette. Yeah.
Not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say, instead of bringing home the bacon, you're bringing home the bagels.
How long before it goes all the way to plants that were not to eat plants.
Well, then what are we're going to eat Soylent Green.
Soylent Green?
Yeah.
What is Soylent Green?
People. Let's see.
Probably wouldn't have a problem with that.
Nope. Make a nice...
Protect animals, yeah. But not humans.
Soylent Green, a nice little disc of... Well, it's kind of like a rice cake, but it's people.
Mm-hmm. Soylent Green. Some sort of food pod.
Yeah. But, you know, you go over to Edward G. Robinson's house, he sneaks in the real stuff. So if you know him, you can go and have some real food if you go to Edward G. Robinson. That's what Chuck Heston did. There. What are you showing us? Some
Soylent Green.
There's a movie called Soylent Green.
Oh, my God.
You don't say. What's that about, Junior?
Yeah.
What do you think it's about?
What is it about? You just told us there's a movie, and we just happen to be talking about Soylent Green. What's the movie about?
Soylent Green.
What is Soylent Green?
Soylent Green?
People.
And so what are we eating?
People.
What are the odds they made a movie out of that?
My goodness.
Is there really a movie called Soylent Green?
Can I take a guess? Can I just take a crazy guess and say, oh, our friend Charlton Heston was in that?
Yes.
And you know what? I think it might have been his last movie. You know, so many great actors were dying off when that was made in the early 70s. Was Edward G. Robinson in that movie?
I'll have to check on that.
Yeah, thank you.
See if we can get verification on that.
Yeah, I get an official statement on that.
Not, what are the odds there was a movie about Soylent Green?
Here, one more for you. You know what they're saying right now? Jesus Christ, standing here. Stop beating a dead horse.
Mm-hmm.
Stop beating a dead horse. What do you know? You know something over there about Soylent Green?
Edward G. Robinson is in it.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
You seriously didn't know that there was a movie called Soylent Green that we were just talking about?
No, I had no idea.
Okay.
I am in the friggin' Twilight Zone. Soylent Green was a movie, and all this PETA talk is about to take my head off.
Instead of saying beating a dead horse, what you should say now is feeding a fed horse.
Please tell me they're doing this just to app with us and they don't mean it. I can't take much more, Stan.
Approved by PETA. These are alternate terms.
I don't understand the world we're living in. Did you see about this frat that got kicked off campus? And the administrator said to them, they had the school administrator come to their frat house to have dinner and discuss how they could do better.
Yeah.
And he suggested that if they'd take down that big damned American flag, they'd be more inclusive. Meanwhile, the place across the street is flying the Palestinian flag. The other one's got the Dominican flag. But the American flag, well, it's very aggressive and is a sign of racism.
We got problems. And if you are on the left and you don't see that this isn't right, there's really something the matter with you.
You know the article I showed you the other day? Which was basically, if you voted for Trump, you're racist. And then they had a picture of some guy holding up a Buy American, Hire American sign as an example.
Of what racism is.
Yep. Another guy holding a flag right there.
Yep.
Out in
holding
plain
a flag,
sight.
And the other guy was holding a sign that said, Buy American.
Hire American.
Hire American. And that was deemed, in a big article, racism.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Nope.
I really don't. And what frightens me is I know how wrong they are, but is there a generation of people that buy that?
Yep. Look over there. Right there.
Well, he knows Soylent Green was a movie.
No, just now.
I do now.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. News headlines. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails.
Have you ever read either 1984 or Brave New World?
No.
1984, a while ago.
Yeah.
Animal Farm?
Yeah, Animal. Yeah,
I read that.
Okay.
What's that about?
Isn't it, it's just like a bunch of pigs, and it's like based off of Soviet Russia, right?
Okay. Well, at least you're trying.
Yeah, well, it's an effort. You got to realize the generation he's coming from. You know what? I'm going to say this very quickly, and it made me mad. And I know he didn't mean it this way because he's been with us on and off for decades. Matt Mangus was outside saying how we were beating up Junior and just, you know, being so hard on him. And I said, no, we're trying to educate him. He's coming from a different generation.
He's been taught wrong things.
And I said, we will know that we did our job with this boy when 20 years from now he does something stupid and can hear us in his head. Don't do it. That's ridiculous. Oh, he was Matt Mangus. Well, it's going to stay with him the rest of his life. I hope so.
And when Mangus was saying all that stuff, Junior,
yeah,
he was lapping it up,
yeah,
like a cat,
yeah,
who just for the first time tasted that carnation cat milk.
Yep. Because he was, oh, finally somebody sees my side of it. Oh, he understands what I'm going through. What we're doing is putting you through school.
I know what Junior's game is. He doesn't really care about any of it. He just doesn't want to be hassled by anybody.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you right now, he's in a difficult situation, and he'll win in the long run. But he hangs around with his millennial buddies who know he's our producer, and you want to talk about browbeating, they browbeat him because he will say something that we have said on the show, and they can't believe that's coming out of their buddy's mouth.
My biggest thing is not to try and convince him or anybody else of certain ideas. What I really hope for is for people to think for themselves.
And discover it on your own.
Because it is so scary, especially when we get emails from the libs. It's like talking points just being spewed back at you. They didn't come up with it.
Of course not. They're reading from a sheet.
It's like a cut and paste world.
Yep. We'll be back. I'll tell you one thing right now. This isn't a cut and paste show, okay? This show's about the truth.
As we see it.
Of course!
Two radio vagabonds who have somehow stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney in the afternoon.
96 K-Rock.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We'll check traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails. Question of the week in about 30. 6:30 tonight at the Hooters on Fort Myers Beach. You can join our buddy Jeff Zito and the 2019 Hooters Calendar Girls. We Haney and I had been doing this for years. This goes all the way back to the early 90s.
Around when the Calendar Girls were born.
Yep. And it continues. The 2019 Calendar Girls are coming to Hooters Fort Myers Beach tonight, Stero Boulevard. You can meet them, get your calendar signed. And they're going to be starting signing and meeting y'all at around 7 p.m. And always remember, pick up an extra calendar. Send some love to the troops this holiday season.
Absolutely.
Buy a 2019 Hooters calendar, and Hooters will ship it to our troops overseas.
Good job by them.
Yep. So join Zito 6:30 to 8:30 tonight at the Fort Myers Beach Hooters and the 2019 Hooter Calendar Girls. They look better in person than they even do on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that. You see the calendar, they're all beautiful. But when you see them in person, they're even more beautiful.
Oh yeah, when Camry came in here, pictures didn't do her justice.
Not even close. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash, Cleveland Avenue and North Key Drive. Andy and I used to drive a lot around North Key Drive.
Yep. Not a lot of people know this, but that whole area was ruled by a witch.
Yeah. And her sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She used to yell at Stan.
Yep. All the time.
When it wasn't his fault.
No. It was him.
But she never believed it.
Nope.
He wouldn't do that.
Nope.
It was you.
He's a good boy. It's you. Fort Myers got a crash. Well, this is not really. This is close to Lehigh Acres, but still technically Fort Myers. Sunshine Boulevard South and State Road 82. And one more for you. Disabled vehicle, I-75 northbound at Alico Road.
Did they get the one here?
I don't see that on our traffic board. Hopefully it's cleared up by now. Car and school bus right down by Broadway in 41 here. And it was a good smack. Bus will always win on a car as far as damage goes. But that was a nasty one. And I don't have it officially on our board. But we saw it, so it might still be there. Let's get you updated with some headlines, because news is going to be in less than an hour. But Mark Haney right now is
going to... Boy, time flies,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, sure does. Mark Haney is going to tell you what's coming up.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
Actually, it'll be an extended version today.
Really?
With things you did not know about popular Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
Man got kicked by a horse.
I know what that feels like.
What does it feel like?
It's like a trip hammer.
Take us there. What happened when you got kicked by a horse? You walked up behind the horse.
Well, it missed my testicular region by an inch.
How did it get you? What put you in the position to be kicked by a horse?
I had a horse on a lead line and letting him keep his head down to eat some grass.
Mm-hmm.
And the road, which was a country road, but it was decided a Mack truck was going to go and try to drive down that country road, saw me holding the horse on the lead line and decided to let its air horns go.
Oh,
bop, bop. The horse reared up, came back down and kicked its hind legs out and caught me right where the leg meets the scrotal. And you...
That's power.
It's incredible power. And it was... You want to talk about being black and blue from, like, your
how
knee
much,
up to the where the privates are?
How much harder did it feel than, like, a punch?
It's not even describable. You get punched by somebody, hey, you son of a bitch, you just punched me or you caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know. It's... You have virtually no memory of it actually happening, just impact.
Did you black out?
Yes, I did. I went down and came to when I was on the ground.
Where was the horse when you came to?
I let go of the lead and other people in the yard went and grabbed it. It ran off. Up, down, kick back.
Back and to the left.
Yeah, yep, back and to the left.
Geez, I wonder what would happen if Cheesecake Factory was to give away some, you know, free slices.
Oh.
We'll tell you what happened. And it wasn't good.
Really?
And finally, a man went to Popeyes.
Oh, good choice.
But he was very unhappy. It was evidently some sort of condiment issue. So he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He pulled a gun, then walked out, and police only caught up with him because he was causing a disturbance at churches across the street.
Hmm.
He likes chicken.
Yeah.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter.
Come down later for more.
Oh, we will. 4 o'clock fluffer time brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark.
Stan.
Junior.
Amy.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Well, what do you think, Stan? Jolting Joe Biden, good old creepy Uncle Joe, will he run for president in 20?
You know what? I just saw a thing on YouTube a couple of days ago. How quickly we forget about Joe Biden. He likes to touch. He likes to reach and
and he likes to plagiarize.
Yep.
And
there's a YouTube where you want to talk about me too? Take a look at some of the stuff Joe Biden on camera for photo ops was doing with people.
Of various ages.
Of various inappropriate. But that's okay. That's good guy Joe.
And you know, Joe Biden is a good example of something that you really opened my eyes to.
What?
You are of the opinion, and I agree with it, that every human being has their moment in the sun where they are the best they're ever going to look.
They're good looking.
And in your case, that was about 6 years old.
Yeah, it left about seven, like four to six, 7 years old.
The teacher said you could get by on your looks.
I still remember the first grade teacher telling my mom, you know, he's struggling with this, but don't worry, he can get by on his looks.
Mm-hmm. And you have.
And I look back at some of those pictures. Yeah, I have. I look back at some of those pictures, and I go, that was a good-looking kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then that left. But you see people that, you know, goofy-looking. But when they're old and they're gray, mm-hmm. they may look distinguished. And, oh, that's a good-looking.
And according to you, my day really hasn't come.
No. No.
You've known me a long time.
It has not arrived. I'm pulling for you, Amy. It's going to happen to you, too.
Thanks, Dan. But in my opinion, that's what's happened with Joe Biden. You go back and look at him 20, 30 years ago. Oh, he's an awkward-looking guy with a comb over.
Yep.
And now he's got a full head of gray hair.
Yep. And those wrinkles went away thanks to the Botox.
Yep.
If he became president now, he'd be 80.
And if you look at the old pictures of him, it doesn't even look like the same person.
No, he's had work done.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
Joe Biden presidential campaign slogans.
Joe Biden presidential campaign slogans.
Vote Biden. Have a heart. I'm about to die.
You know she's laughing.
Need a hug, America? Bring it in.
Yep.
Hey, Democrats, stop hiding. It's time for Biden. Sure, I'll be 78 when I'm sworn in, but, you know, what were we talking about? Unlike Trump, I don't need any Russian hookers. Thank you very much. I can pee my own bed.
You are fake news.
Vote Biden. It takes a village to Botox my forehead.
You got your own issues, Dave.
The only thing I do with porn stars is tell loud, obnoxious stories. And finally, the very top Joe Biden presidential campaign slogan.
Yes.
Joe Biden. I'm not Hillary.
Thank God.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email. We'll try to get through a couple of these. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. This one came with a little delivery. Ahoy, gentlemen. This is from Rick of Matt Lachey. This is just a small thank you for a year of fun and for helping me to end my work days on a happy note. If you remember, last year I sent you some cups I made that all with engraved with our logo on
it. Oh, yeah. Those are beautiful.
This year, and I'll give you yours, Haney, I designed a lot of Christmas ornaments to sell online. And I made a couple of Stan and Haney inspired ones for you guys. Looking forward to another year with you. Signed, Rick, Matt Lachey.
He had these right here.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Or Christmas ornaments.
Oh, that's great.
Hanging on the tree.
So nice of you.
This person.
Yeah, I know mom and dad's getting this.
Yep. This person did not leave his name, but he wrote this with regards to yesterday's Bush funeral and the way Clinton was staring straight ahead and not looking at the current president. Guys, I agree with everything you said yesterday about the funeral. What a great history lesson for our children. Two things now. One, before the service started, it showed Bill and Obama laughing and carrying on in the cathedral. If that would have been Trump carrying on like that, they would have killed him for doing that in that kind of setting. But number two, I just wish Trump would have read along on the last prayer like the others did in the first row. Signed, Anonymous. I don't disagree.
Well,
I don't disagree.
He can't. He's got to be faithful to his own religion.
Who, Trump?
Obama.
No, Obama read. It was Trump that didn't read.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see it.
Everybody from Roslyn, Jimmy, Hillary, who was the paper was burning in her hands, President Clinton, Michelle, Barack, and Melania and Trump weren't reading the Lord's Prayer there. They were just standing there. And that was awkward.
Wonder why.
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, the other day you were talking about the Stan and Haney Draft Fund and how 100% goes to the fund and to the troops. So being curious, I wanted to find out information on these organizations. Your draft fund is one of a handful that all money goes to the fund. A lot of them use fundraising groups that keep 70 to 90% of the money taken in. Some of them are very well known and ones people give to most of the time. Now, I won't mention them, but you can go to Consumer Reports and find the best and worst charities. So you guys
are... Yeah, but the Consumer Reports wouldn't list us because we're not big enough.
Right. So you guys are in a very unique group. Now, I will mention the best, in my opinion, of course, your draft fund and St. Jude's Children's Hospital. That's the one you see on TV all the time. It's for childhood cancer treatment and research that was started by Danny Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Not one penny goes to any salaries or administrative cost. So if, folks, you want to really do good, give to the Draft Fund or St. Jude's. One more thing. The left media just can't seem not to dump on Trump no matter what. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Our question of the week is next, and we'll take your phone calls. You can answer our question of the week. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
one of the greatest novelties,
a fabulous boy prodigy,
the most amazing of all the chimp acts that have ever come to show business.
He said, as you recall, everybody remembers this one. Here's an act that'll scare the life out of you. From China. He's been in India. He's been all over the world.
Just back from Las Vegas. The Italian Casanova.
A Texas friend of mine. My handsome Italian paisano. Today's greatest living American.
Here's the man I invited to Christmas dinner.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We're going to post to you our question of the week. You can call in. We'll do some traffic. And then we'll take your calls. A good question of the week. I like this. We'll pose it to you. It's not a yes or no answer. About 25, 30 minutes away from Mark Haney in the news. Here you go. Now, ladies, you can do the opposite. I'm posing it as a guy question. But ladies, if they want to call in, can turn it around and look at it from there. Perspective. When you were a young boy, you were a kid and you were growing up and you were becoming a man, you were still a young kid, and who was the first TV chick that gave you that little tingle that, wait a second, I'm feeling something here? That's nice. We all remember, you know, you'd be sitting at home watching TV with the family, watching the sitcoms, the TV shows, and but there was that one TV chick that you knew. There's something, I feel something, that she's pretty. 2779600. First,
I don't know what it is, but I like it.
Yup. Don't know what this is, but. Why do I want to keep watching her? And I wish my family would leave the room. That first TV chick. Ladies, you can play it too if there was a guy like Chachi on TV.
Sure. You know? They all loved the Chachi,
yeah,
didn't
but
they?
It was that, you know, you're watching, you know, then suddenly she's on TV and you feel a little something. Hey, that's not When you were a kid, who was the first TV chick that gave you that little tingle? 2779600. We'll take your phone calls after we take a look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start Pine Island. Or Cape Coral, actually. Got a crash. Pine Island Road, right at the Walmart Supercenter. Fort Myers crash, South Point Boulevard and College Parkway. It's also this. Oh, we're going to move to Lehigh Acres. Got a crash, Lee Boulevard at the Pinewood Medical Plaza. Another one, Lehigh Acres crash, Gilbert Avenue South and 15th Street Southwest. Fort Myers crash, or no, disabled vehicle. Gladiolus Drive and San Carlos Boulevard. And this one in Estero, hit and run. South Tamiami Trail and Corkscrew Road. And you are up to date. Yeah, TV was TV when you were a kid and you liked the cartoons and your parents were watching the shows. And one day a young you sees somebody on the TV and you say, she's pretty, making things happen that thoughts I'd never had before.
I think there's really only one answer, but...
Yeah, well, 277-9600. The obvious answer, and I think it's for Haney, with our generation, was Maureen McCormick. Marsha.
Oh, my God, Marsha.
When she was on TV, that was the late 60s, early 70s, when that show was on, I guess it went off in 73. She, we watched her grow up on that show for the 4 or 5 seasons it was on, and she was beautiful. I'll tell you another one that got me when I was very young was, and I don't remember the name of the movie, Raquel Welch, when she was a roller derby girl.
You got a thing for roller derby girls, dude?
No, I really don't. I just remember as a young boy seeing Raquel Welch in this movie about roller derby, and her picture was in Life magazine. And I went, oh, my goodness. But she was a grown-up lady. But, without a doubt, Marsha. That was the Maureen McCormick. Same for you?
Yeah.
That was the first one where you realized something's going on here.
Yeah, she was, without a doubt,
number one
by a mile. Yep. I had a minor thing for Lori Partridge.
What was that, Susan Day?
Yep. But very minor compared to Marsha.
Junior.
I don't think, has there ever been a woman that is that universal? Marsha Brady was
for
the
that
icon.
Age group.
She was just an icon.
Now, see, Junior's from a different generation. There's somebody totally different. I went and asked a Junior Beasley, somebody totally different, like from a Disney Channel thing.
Oh, yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah. Junior, who was it that first gave you that tingle when you were a young boy and you saw her on TV? And I'm having thoughts about this one.
Winona Ryder.
Ooh.
That kleptomaniac?
Yeah, she's kind of
there's just something about
mess.
It, dude. I don't know.
So that was the first, the first one.
The first one.
What did you see her in that made you think all funny about her? Do you know what the show was? What movie it was?
Yeah, it was Beetlejuice.
Okay. All right. That's his memory. 277-9600. What about yours? Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Dawn.
Dawn, you're going to take the other perspective. Who was it on TV that first gave you the tingle?
Oh, it wasn't me. It was my husband. But
wait a second. Your husband gave you the first tingle and he was on TV?
I wish.
What, your husband doesn't want to say this?
No, because I'm not with him.
Oh, wow.
But what? I asked him while I was waiting. For you guys,
yes.
So I asked him.
Okay,
I have my opinion, and then he gave me a different answer. So I got two.
All right, go ahead.
All right, Pam Anderson was his choice.
Pam Anderson, what? When she was on Home Improvement?
Yeah, and Baywatch.
Yeah, and Baywatch and Playboy, and then the Tommy Lee thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
that sex tape was
the third leg.
And then. I saw that tape too.
Yeah, that whole tape. There was a whole lot of "Hey, babe."
Yes, there was. And then my choice was Catherine Bach from The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, Peter, yeah,
that's a girl crush I had too.
We had her right here in the studio.
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah,
she was.
And we were talking about how people have that one time where they're at their peak.
Yeah.
Where they look as good as they're ever going to look. In my opinion, Jessica Simpson, when she played Daisy Duke.
Oh! Yeah, and she'll tell you.
Better than before and better than after.
She had to lose so much weight for that movie to fit into that bikini that she was in. She said for herself, I was too skinny, but it was perfect.
That was perfection.
Aaron Walker from Naples Nissan just texted me. Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, yeah, that's a given.
That is a complete given.
But see, we were getting older then.
And I always preferred Jacqueline Smith to Farrah Fawcett.
You know, there wasn't anything wrong with any of them.
No, sir. Even the replacement ones, your Cheryl Ladds. Mm-hmm. And yep. 277-960.
I kind of had a little crush on Lindsay Wagner for a while.
Oh, sure. Bionic Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. Pip here.
Pip? Oh, now, this might be a little creepy for
most of us. Oh, who knows where this could go.
We have no idea where this is
going. First things first, I want to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas. I don't do happy holidays.
Thank you, buddy. And that's the way it should be.
Thank you, pal, and back at you.
Who was it, Pip? Who was it?
All right, the disturbing part, guys, is that I was 5 or 6 years old, and she frequented the Hollywood Squares, and it was Miss Judy Landers.
They were sisters. Judy Landers and
Audra. Do we still
Audrey.
Have that liner?
I do. Hold on. They were two hotties. One, Audrey.
One of them was on Hee Haw, weren't they?
One of them was.
Were they both on Hee Haw?
No. One of them was on Three's Company, replaced Suzanne Summers. And the other one was on the B.J. Lobo Show.
Oh, B.J. and the Bear, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I can find that one. Because we had them on. Because we
had them on together.
Yes. Hold on. Yeah, I got it. We had them on.
This is for us and Pip. Nobody else probably knows what the hell we're talking about.
Let's see what number that is. They, in their day, in the 70s, they were hot.
Smoking.
And they were sisters. One was like a year older than the other. And they were top notch. We got a lot of these. Just got to get to the right one. Here we go.
Oh, it's so worth it, though.
It is. Make sure I got it right. Yep. There it is. We had them on the show together.
Hi, I'm Audrey.
And I'm Judy.
We're the Lander sisters. And you're listening to Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Oh, in their day, they were so hot. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Danny from LaBelle.
Danny from LaBelle. Who was that first TV chick that gave you a little tingle as a boy?
Bo Derek.
Oh.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah. You know what? She wasn't on TV a whole heck of a lot, but if you could get into an R movie with her in it, whether it was 10, Tarzan, or whatever.
And the ads and the posters were everywhere.
And the ads and the... Yes. She had... And for the time, she had, if you look at like 10 and Tarzan, she had a unique body shape. It wasn't typical for the day. There was something about it, but it was a unique body shape.
Well, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up, Phoebe and...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And Brooke Shields.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, sir. This is Trevor from Fort Myers.
Trevor, how old are you, Trevor?
I am close to junior's age. I'm 28 years old.
All right, so we're going to get a different perspective here. Who was the first person on chick on TV that gave you the tingle?
For me, it wasn't really TV, but music videos, they count, it was definitely Britney Spears. Had to be.
And
before the crazy haircut.
Yeah,
she was an early bloomer. Her with that snake, that was her moment.
And remember Haney saying it. We had the magazine here with the she was with the nude and with the snake, and Haney said it on the air. This is the best she's ever going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hot, and I remember Kool-Aid, he used to be on the show back in the day, he had a thing for her sister, Jamie Lynn.
Yeah, when she was like 10.
Yeah. Which was creepy.
Oh, and who could forget, David Coverdale's girlfriend? She's a crazy.
Yep, what was her name? Tawny Kitaen. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brian from Naples.
Brian, who gave you the tingle?
Brooke Shields and the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah.
I think I was only 10 or 11 when that movie came out.
She used to do the Calvin Klein jean ads. And it drove me nuts.
here's the thing, and it was just a few years ago, she used to do current age, probably 2 or 3 years ago, she used to do those toothpaste commercials. And they used to show her in the bathroom brushing her teeth, which did a little something. And everybody was saying, oh, what are you talking about? They went and looked at the commercial, called me back. You know what? You're right. Watching her brush her teeth.
You know who else had that beautiful moment?
Who?
Courtney Cox in the Bruce Springsteen video.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Charlie from Fort Myers. Ahoy, gents.
Ahoy, buddy. Who gave you the tingle?
Well, there's a couple of them that come to mind right away. First one, WKRP in Cincinnati, Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Bo Derek when she did 10.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, well, Bo Derek was without a doubt. I look at Lonnie Anderson today when you see the reruns of WKRP because guys our age thought she was hot. She did a poster and all that. You look at her today, too much makeup. She's all made up and her hair all poofed up, and she just, you look at, like,
Stan,
her in a lot of makeup.
We weren't looking at her hair and makeup.
No, we were looking at her boobs. But yeah, too much in the face. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Ryan, Fort Myers.
What's that in the background, Ryan?
This is a dog. He's trying to get out of the fence.
Tell him to go lie down.
I'm trying.
Who gave you the tingle?
That would be Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell.
See, now,
you know who that is,
you
Junior?
You know, Junior, know who Kelly
is? Tiffany Thielsen, I think her name is.
Oh, okay. Like yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
Okay. Were you a big fan of Saved by the Bell?
No, I hated that show.
Right. You, what were you, SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Like, who was that girl squirrel with the, that came down and floating in the helmet?
That was Sandy Cheeks.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Pitt's little brother, Fast Willie.
Who is it?
No, honestly, this is Pitt's little brother.
All right, we knew his older brother.
No, that was his cousin, Big Al.
Oh, Big Al. How's Big Al?
Big Al's good. He's old and fat, just like my brother.
Boy, same personality. Yep. Who was it for you?
Well, both of those idiots were on either side of me, so I had to keep quiet or else they would make fun of me. But every time I saw a Carnival cruise ship commercial, Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, Jesus.
See, it runs in the family. Just weird stuff.
Never have found her attractive,
Kathy,
ever.
Very mousy. No, thank you. Ahoy, who's this?
This is JP.
JP. Okay, this ought to be interesting. Who gave you the tingle?
Well, it was in a movie, and it lasted with me for years. Jennifer O'Neill in Summer of 42.
Oh, she's also been a guest on our show, and we talked to her about that film. If you were a young guy and you saw that movie, I don't know, at 15, 14, you would never forget it.
Now, to this day, I'm 56. I still think about that movie.
Absolutely. At that time in Haney, like Haney says, everybody, that moment, she was absolutely gorgeous.
Right on.
Of the story where she lost her husband and the boy that was coming to her ocean house had a little crush on her, and she was going through a lot of depression and bad feelings because of the war and all that, and he fell in love with her. And lost
his virginity to her.
And you wished you were him.
I still wished I was him.
That movie, and he's absolutely right, when you watch it at a certain age, it affects you. She was gorgeous. And I remember we had her on. She was on, going to do some special, and we talked to her about that. She was... Whew.
You know who else in her day was just smoking? Kelly Preston.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She's married to Travolta now.
Yes, sir. If you would like to answer our question of the week, feel free to do so. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Mark Haney and the News is next.
To be a true champion, you need pride, vision, and perseverance. You need these same qualities to be a moderately successful afternoon FM talk show. Do you really expect people to believe this shit? Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Don't forget Zito starting at 6:30. Fort Myers Beach Hooters, the 2019 calendar girls are there. Get your calendar and get them signed. Send one to the troops, too. Looking at some of the texts we've got, I mean, it's a who's who of a certain generation. Catherine Bach, Tia Carrere from Wayne's World.
Oh, yeah.
The chick from Caddyshack.
Dave likes her.
I saw her probably about 3 years
who
ago
is that?
At a Comic Con in Tampa. She was there signing her Caddyshack pictures with Chevy Chase. She hasn't aged well. She's up there. She's got to be 60. Heather Thomas from The Fall Guy.
Cindy Morgan, American actress best known as the chick in Caddyshack.
Yeah, how old is she now?
She was born in September of 54.
She's 62. Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers, a guest on this show. Heather Thomas was a guest on this show, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of, you know, we've had a lot of those people on. We had Ginger from Gilligan's Island on.
Marianne.
Yep.
Gilligan.
Susan Anton, who I just... Peggy Lipton, remember her from the Mod Squad?
How could you forget?
All been on the show. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we'll start in North Fort Myers. Crash, Cleveland Avenue and Diplomat Parkway East. And this one in Bonita Springs. Crash, South Tamiami Trail and Bonita Beach Road. It's in the public's parking lot. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
Direct from our newsroom in color, this is the evening news with Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee, Dan Rather in New York, Bernard Kalb in Saigon, Marvin Kalb in Wellington, New Zealand, and Bert Quint in Khe Sanh, South Vietnam.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, December 6th.
Double M, XV, triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Did Not Know.
All right.
Peter Cetera.
Yeah, from Chicago.
He wrote a little song called Glory of Love. That song hit number one on the Billboard charts and also received an Oscar nomination.
All right.
It was the theme song for the Karate Kid Part 2. A lot of times, songs like that, they're written specifically for the movie. That was not the case here. The song was specifically written for a movie, but not that movie. The Glory of Love was originally written and recorded for Rocky IV. But the studio declined to use it. So, it's sitting there and they go, hey, we need something for Karate Kid Part 2. Let's use that from Rocky.
I must break you. You will go down.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say. USA! Yeah. His talks, good game.
I ain't gonna get involved.
That was the movie where Drago killed Apollo Creed in the ring, yep. And Rocky needed revenge.
Mm-hmm. Stan, you know your presidents.
Oh, God. Yes, I hope.
And with the Bush funerals still going on, now we know that George Herbert Walker Bush had a son who became president.
Yeah.
There is a U.S. congressman, I should say was, who is the only person who was both the parent and the child of U.S. presidents.
Mm-hmm. That would be the Harrison family. What was his...
Congressman John Harrison.
Yeah, because you had William Henry Harrison, who was there for a short time, died after his inauguration. And then John Harrison was his son.
You mean Benjamin.
And then John Harrison had a son who was Benjamin Harrison.
All right.
John was the son of William Henry Harrison.
That's and the Congressman John Harrison.
Yeah.
He's William Henry Harrison's son and Benjamin Harrison's father.
Yep.
William was our 9th president, Benjamin our 23rd.
Sandwiched right in between the two terms of Cleveland.
Who evidently was so popular in Fort Myers, we had to name the main road after.
I think, is that who it's named after?
Yeah.
Here's another little tidbit about Grover Cleveland. He had, I don't know if he was a tobacco user or not.
Everybody was at some point.
But he had jaw cancer. You know, think of a president today having cancer. They had to put him out on a boat in the... what's the big waterway in Washington?
Potomac.
Had to put him on a boat in the Potomac with a surgeon who cut away about a third of his face to get the cancer. Teeth, jawbone, upper jaw. Had to cut it all out, and nobody knew about it other than a close group of people because they didn't want to panic the nation and made him a rubber prosthetic face to put over it, and his picture was taken for his second term, and nobody ever knew. Every time he went out in public, he had the fake mask on. Is that his teeth?
Those are his teeth. Yeah,
that were with a big gap. They took it all out.
Well, what am I looking at there?
Upper and lower. And they had to take out a huge chunk of his upper jaw.
Oh, okay. So that's putty I'm looking at.
Yeah. Those are the molds. And he had a rubber prosthetic face whenever he went out into public. And nobody knew. Just said he was under the weather. And then he came back out with the fake face.
Huh. And we have something special here for you. It's a little more of things you didn't know, but about popular Christmas songs.
Okay.
All I Want for Christmas Is You. Mariah Carey recorded that.
Yep. She's always big around the holidays.
She recorded it in the month of August. It was written in 15 minutes. Faith Hill's Where Are You Christmas was written by Mariah, who was going to record it, but her ex-husband, Tommy Mottola, gave it to Faith instead. We all love rocking around the Christmas tree.
Rocking around
the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. That's the whole song.
Yeah.
Now we know that's by Brenda Lee, recorded in 1958. At that time, Brenda Lee was all of 13 years old.
And had a big hit. And they would bring her out all the way up into the early 2000s. And she'd always have to sing that song.
Jingle bells for most of us. Well, all of us at this point. It's always been around.
Yeah.
How old is it?
Pretty old.
Jingle Bells is over 150 years old. It was published in 1857. It could have existed well before that, mm-hmm. but it was published in 1857 and was intended to be a big Thanksgiving hit, not a Christmas record.
That's the truth.
Now, I know that you know this, but some people don't. We talked about him the other day. Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yep.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Was also the voice of Tony the Tiger for over 50 years.
Yep.
They're great.
Thank you.
I just did it.
Okay,
I do it better.
We all have our talents.
But
if I said, oh, they're great, they know what I'm talking about. Sorry about that.
You're right. There's no need for me to be a show off.
Yeah. Big old braggart.
But then again, you don't have to be a Jan Brady to my Marsha. You're Stan Brady.
I'm not Stan Brady.
Yep.
Nope.
Haney. How come Haney has a nice voice? Because that's all I have, Stan.
And let me tell you something. It's changed. My voice sounds exactly the same.
As when you were eight.
I think yours has too.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I talk to your daughter, please? Who the hell is this? Yeah, I just wanted to know if she wanted to go to the eighth grade dance. Don't ever call here again, you perv.
Yeah.
My daughter happens to be 13 years old.
Yeah.
I know. Irving Berlin.
Who lived to be 100.
Wrote the song White Christmas. Now, we all enjoy the song, and we enjoy Elvis Presley's version of the song.
We sure do.
Irving Berlin did not. Oh. He hated Elvis Presley's rendition of White Christmas so much, he did everything in its power to have it banned from the radio.
Really? Bitter man.
Mm-hmm. Silver bells.
Silver bells.
Silver bells.
It's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling.
Jingling.
Soon it will be Christmas Day. That's not the original title.
No, what is it?
It was originally called Tinkle Bell.
Oh, thank God for history.
The songwriter changed it after his wife mentioned some people might not take tinkle the right way.
And she was right.
Has there ever been a Christmas song to hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100?
Yes.
And that song is?
Simply Having
a Wonderful Christmas Time.
No, is it? Nah, it can't be.
Nope.
Jingle Bell Rock.
There is only one.
What is it?
The Chipmunk Song.
Oh, yeah. That Dave Seville there, he was genius back then. Mm-hmm. He just sped up the record of his voice, and he was a hit back then.
Yep. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear? La, 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 la. That's a good one.
Yeah, sure.
Not so much a Christmas song. It was written as a call for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962.
Well, we needed it then.
The Roman Catholic Church got involved in 1952, condemning that year's big hit, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Who could forget it?
The church issued a statement of condemnation, saying that the song promoted adultery. The Catholic Church then officially withdrew their complaint after realizing the 13-year-old singer Jimmy Boyd was referring to his own father.
Yep. Yeah, ever look at a picture of Jimmy Boyd when he was 13? That round, freckled-faced kid?
So it's about your papa?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay then. Have fun.
I saw mommy
kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night.
Okay.
Why don't we do a Christmas record?
We could. We are so desperately late, Haney. There he is. There's little Jimmy Boyd. Look at that moon-pied, freckled face.
Bastard.
Yeah.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, I need to speak to Junior a second.
Sure.
Are you familiar with, I guess it's an app called DoorDash?
I've never heard of that.
Okay, then I don't feel bad, because I haven't either. I said Bill, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the Cheesecake Factory's 40th anniversary.
All right.
So to celebrate, they had an idea to give away 40,000 free slices of cheesecake to celebrate.
So far, so good.
And the only way to get those free slices was to order them on DoorDash.
See, I don't know what that is.
I think it's a delivery thing.
Okay.
So, how did this turn out? They just like to give away some cheesecake.
Yeah. Delicious cheesecake.
People flooded DoorDash with orders, which led to chaos at cheesecake locations across the country, as the drivers battled for parking spots and crammed into the restaurants.
Jeez.
Talk about in the weeds. It got so bad at the location in Arlington, Virginia, that one driver wound up getting arrested for disorderly conduct when the police showed up, and he thought it would be a good idea to get into a physical fight with them over the cheesecake. Now, they haven't made an official statement yet, but DoorDash tweeted that they expanded the offer and managed to deliver more than 60,000 free slices.
See?
All around the country. Eventually.
Right. Right.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, everybody has their limits, Stan.
Yeah, they do.
And you never know what it is that's a tripwire for somebody.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable.
Sure is.
59-year-old chicken lover Earl Jethro ordered up a meal at Popeyes in New Orleans on Friday. But wouldn't you know it, went to enjoy that delicious chicken when he came across an unidentified condiment issue. We don't know. You could speculate. Maybe he wanted an extra packet of saw and they wouldn't give it to him. We don't know. What we do know is that he decided to handle the situation by vaulting his chicken across the room while simultaneously producing a gun from his waistband.
Of course.
And pointing it at the manager.
Probably on his way to a recording studio.
Now, luckily, no one was hurt, and 59-year-old chicken lover Earl Jethro left.
Good.
So, okay, situation's diffused, right?
Right.
If only. He might have gotten away with it, except that upon pulling the gun and leaving the Popeyes...
Yeah.
He ended up causing a scene at the church's fried chicken location the street. That's where the police caught him, over at church's, yelling at them. According to the police report, 59-year-old chicken lover Earl Jethro was wobbly on his feet and smelled like Al K. Hall. He is facing two separate charges for aggravated assault with a firearm and disturbing the peace while drunk. If you get nailed for that in New Orleans, you're doing it all wrong.
Yep.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, December 6th.
Double M XV Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Monkey Haney telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon.
Yeah, New Orleans police are awesome because everybody's doing that. Everybody's got a cocktail in them.
Yep.
And they're right there in the middle of Bourbon Street with you.
Yep. So you're doing it wrong.
Yep.
When we come back, we'll find out what's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll see Roger Marley and that ring ding.
You'll miss us when we're gone. Thankfully, we're not going anywhere. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We're going to talk to Dave the Waterman here in just a second.
And he said the chick from Caddyshack was it for him.
Okay. Let's get you updated on traffic, and then we'll deal with Dave the Waterman.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Very quickly, one thing on the board. Fort Myers, it's a crash. Colonial Boulevard and Metro Parkway right by the O'Brien Auto Parts.
Well, luckily that won't mess anything up.
No.
Minor our intersection.
Don't you read anything.
I want to know what's going on, man.
One of our banker friends who also deals with stocks and bonds and all of that stuff has texted us and said, guys, I heard the Waterman was soliciting marijuana stocks last night on the air.
I was not soliciting stocks, Dan.
He needs to be careful. Because that is a violation unless you have a Series 7 license.
Well, what now makes you think he doesn't have a Series 7 license?
The SEC is listening.
Oh, dude, I'm just curious, man. Can a man not be curious
about
stuff?
You better not be. Do you have a Series 7 license?
What were you doing?
No.
What were you doing about marijuana stocks? You can't do that.
I was curious if anybody out there knew anything about it.
You were soliciting.
Soliciting what?
I wasn't soliciting nothing.
Soliciting marijuana stocks.
What were you soliciting?
I wasn't soliciting anything.
I got a broker guy that says
you're
you
being
were.
Accused of solicitation.
I know, man, dude. No. Let me read that. What was that?
No, we were looking for something else. No, I...
Okay, what? You got the audio then. All right, play the audio.
I don't have any audio.
Play the audio. Roll tape.
No, don't
What were you about. Soliciting, Dave?
Bro, look, man. I was talking about marijuana stocks.
You
a little
can't.
Bit last night. Why?
You don't have a Series 7 license.
So I can't even speak about... Are you kidding me?
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I really was in the Navy, and the military is not for everybody. I get it. It was great for me. It taught me a lot about myself. For instance, I learned that I'm not a morning person. Not good with that whole portion of the day. And to be honest with you guys, I think that's why we keep getting into so many wars. I think people in the military are getting up way too early. Yeah, because I know how I feel at 5:30 in the morning. I feel like killing somebody. I think if the military just slept in, had a late brunch, maybe a couple mimosas, see if we're still even mad at that country, a lot less war.
Sophisticated people play chess. Rednecks can amuse ourselves for hours with a sheet of bubble wrap.
Pop, 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 pop.
Oh, for God's sakes, Joe, let the kids play with it a while. You're going to be late to work.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Yeah, TV was TV when you were a kid, and you liked the cartoons, and your parents were watching the shows, and one day a young you sees somebody on the TV, and you say, she's pretty, making things happen that thoughts I'd never had before.
Yeah. I think there's really only one answer, but...
Yeah, well, ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. Pip here.
Pip? Oh, now, this might be a little creepy for most of us.
Oh, who knows where this could go?
We have no idea where this is going.
First things first, I want to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas. I don't do happy holidays.
Thank you, buddy. And that's the way it should be.
Thank you, pal, and back at you.
Who was it, Pip? Who was it?
All right, the disturbing part, guys, is that I was 5 or 6 years old, and she frequented the Hollywood Squares. And it was Miss Judy Landers.
Sisters. Judy Landers and
Do we
Audrey.
Still have that liner?
I do. Hold on. They were two hotties. One, Audrey.
One of them was on Hee Haw, weren't they?
One of them was.
Were they both on Hee Haw?
No. One of them was on Three's Company, replaced Suzanne Summers. And the other one was on the B.J. Lobo show.
Oh, B.J. and the Bear, yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I can find that one. Because we had them on. Because we
had them on together.
Yes, hold on. Yeah, I got it. We had them on.
This is for us and Pip. Nobody else probably knows what the hell we're talking about.
Let's see what number that is. They, in their day, in the 70s, they were hot.
Smoking.
And they were sisters. One was like a year older than the other. And they were top notch. We had them on the show together.
Hi, I'm Audrey.
And I'm Judy.
We're the Lander sisters. And you're listening to Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Oh, in their day, they were so hot. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Danny from LaBelle.
Danny from LaBelle. Who was that first TV chick that gave you a little tingle as a boy?
Bo Derek.
Oh.
You can't argue with that.
You know what? She wasn't on TV a whole heck of a lot, but if you could get into an R movie with her in it, whether it was 10, Tarzan, or whatever.
And the ads and the posters were everywhere.
And the ads and the... Yes. She had... And for the time... She had, if you look at like 10 and Tarzan, she had a unique body shape. It wasn't typical for the day. There was something about it, but it was a unique body shape.
Well, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up, Phoebe and...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And Brooke Shields.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, sir. This is Trevor from Fort Myers.
Trevor, how old are you, Trevor?
I am close to junior's age. I'm 28 years old.
All right, so we're going to get a different perspective here. Who was the first person on chick on TV that gave you the tingle?
For me, it wasn't really TV, but music videos, if they count, it was definitely Britney Spears. Had to be.
And
before the crazy haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was an early bloomer. Her with that snake, that was her moment.
And remember Haney saying it. We had the magazine in here with the she was with the nude and with the snake, and Haney said it on the air. This is the best she's ever gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hot, and I remember Kool-Aid. When he used to be on the show back in the day, he had a thing for her sister, Jamie Lynn.
Yeah, when she was like 10.
Yeah, which was creepy.
Oh, and who could forget, David Coverdale's girlfriend? And oh, she's a crazy.
Yep. What was her name? Tawny
Kitaen.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Charlie from Fort Myers. Ahoy, gents.
Ahoy, buddy. Who gave you the tingle?
Well, there's a couple of them that come to mind right away. First one, WKRP in Cincinnati, Lonnie Anderson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Bo Derek when she did 10.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, well, Bo Derek was without a doubt. I look at Lonnie Anderson today when you see the reruns of WKRP because guys our age thought she was hot. She did mm-hmm. a poster and all that. You look at her today, too much makeup. She's all made up and her hair all poofed up, and she just, you look at, like,
Stan,
her in a lot of makeup.
We weren't looking at her hair and makeup.
No, we were looking at her boobs. But yeah, too much in the face. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Ryan, Fort Myers.
What's that in the background, Ryan?
This is a dog. He's trying to get out of the fence.
Tell him to go lie down.
I'm trying.
Who gave you the tingle?
That would be Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell.
See, now,
you know who that is,
you
Junior?
You know, Junior, know who Kelly
is? Tiffany Thielsen, I think her name is.
Oh, okay.
Like
yeah. Right. She's pretty good looking.
Okay. Were you a big fan of Saved by the Bell?
No, I hated that show.
Right. What were you, SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Like, who was that girl squirrel with the, that came down and floating in the helmet?
That was Sandy Cheeks.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.